I was telling Fred Foss that my first public speech in Winona was to the Unitarian Universalists. He invited me. So I owe a lot to him. Thank you, Laura, for considering me for this talk. And as reflecting on this, as you said, it's been several months, I remembered somebody said, I don't know how true it is, that Winston Churchill was once asked, how long does it take him to prepare a speech? He said, well, it depends. If it's going to be 3 hours, it takes me about 15 minutes. And if it is going to be 15 minutes, it takes me 3 months. So it's been 3 months. Thank you, Laura, for comparing me to Churchill. I don't think I'm going to compare. I'll give a brief history, if you wish, of the evolution of the Muslim community in Winona. What happened to it through the years, and in terms of numbers, and also in terms of living, establishing community, and its reaction or interaction with the rest of the larger community. As Laura mentioned, when I first came, I was the only Muslim adult in Winona. I had a wife and 4 children. She was not Muslim at the time. But I tried, we had agreed with each other that we raised the children to learn about both religions, and when they grew up, they choose what they wanted to do. As time went on, I was at Winona State, students started coming, and eventually some adults began to come, and we joined with people also from La Crosse, and the community started to grow. Actually, it was not my idea. I don't want to take credit for it, but my son, my oldest son, said, why don't you start the mosque? Okay. So one day, in one of the religious celebrations, I mentioned it to the group. Well, let's start. And that was in 1992. And we had about, between La Crosse and here, we had about maybe 50 people. So that's large enough to start the group. And the students, the United States was more free in granting visas. And Winona State was hungry for numbers. As the enrollment was declining, so they started to expand enrollment for international students, and more Muslim students came in. By 2000, that was in 1992, as I said, started the Islamic Center organization. By 2001, we had more than known 400 people in Winona that were Muslim. There were many others underground because they were, most of them were Bangladeshi students, and with the conditions in Bangladesh and poverty level and all that, they come in, they study for a semester, they disappear for a semester, then come back. So when they're not in school, we didn't know where they were and how many they were. But conservatively, as I said, we had about 400 Muslims in Winona. And then came 2001. We all know what happened in 2001, in September. And the crackdown on Muslim visas, especially between ages of 18 and 45. And some of you, and I look around, a lot of white heads like mine, Some of you might remember when the immigration service came to Winona, because some of the students were working illegally. So they started deportation procedures, and well, some of them were deported and others had voluntarily left, and the visas began to decline. The 400 and some went back to about 40. And then began to build up again. We now probably have about 100 in Winona. In the meantime, La Crosse went on their own, so this is strictly for Winona. Most of the members of the Islamic Center are students, as I mentioned, and thus the relationship is transient. They come and go. New ones come and go. Some of them maintain ties, and they were generous when we needed their help. And some of them just live their lives. And I'm glad to say that we have many of the ones that were here over the years, and I was persuaded somehow to get on Facebook. And through that, I know that many of them are living in the United States and have very good positions, and they still, I was just looking at Facebook yesterday, one of them who lives in California was here in Winona for their graduation, and was remembering, he said, my home base, and many of them consider Winona to be their home base. So I did not get to see him, even though I was at the graduation myself. Okay. How has the Muslim community been accepted in Winona? How have they been welcomed? Again, being mostly students, they live a student life. Some of them were accepted by their host families, if they were living with host families or their landlords, and some of them had relations in the bars and wherever, and whatever they did there. And so it's mixed, student life. But overall, we say that they've been very welcome, overall assessment. In fact, we felt very sheltered in 2001 after September 11th. Sheltered by the Winona community. Which was gratifying. Which says something about the community and about the relationship between the community and the smaller community and the larger community. Okay. I remember in one instance, I was told by some of the officials that somebody put a banner at their home and says, go home. Well, the city officials went directly after that person and said, take it down. And they did. And that was the only incident. Remarkable, especially when we compare what happens elsewhere. That doesn't mean that in all instances relations were good. That doesn't mean that in all instances people felt positive about the Muslims, whether it is in Winona or somewhere else. I remember in 1979, does anybody know what is significant about 1979? The Iranian Revolution. I did not have my car in the garage, but every morning in the winter, I would go and scrape the eggs off of my car because I was Iranian. Any Yeah, I looked different, so I had to be Iranian. I'm not Iranian, by the way. So, okay, no problem. Took that in stride. What happens elsewhere does affect where we live, however, how we adapt to it, how we adjust to it, depends on our attitudes. Many times I would read an editorial, a letter to the editor in the newspaper attacking Islam and attacking Muslims. Initially, I took the bait and I would respond. But then after a while, I said, no, I don't need to do that. But when I did not respond, other members of the community did, which is, again, very gratifying. And I was appreciative of that. So what? And some of the members of the Muslim community say, why don't we respond? I say, let it be. They're picking a fight. You don't need to get involved in it. So that has been the case. As I said, we felt very welcome all along until something happened on September 13, 2013, on Friday. Our holy day of the week is Friday. The big religious prayer is on Friday. We attended the Friday prayer. We went home. I'm sorry. No. That was not. On Thursday night, we went home after our evening prayer. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, on Friday morning, I received a call from Pakistan. A member of the community who lives in Pakistan, who was here. What's going on in the Islamic Center? I said, nothing, everything is great. He said, no, it's on fire. I said, what? He said, I saw it in the Winona Daily News website. I go to the Islamic Center. And it is on fire. The whole Muslim community came to watch the building burn down. What can you say? I cannot forget what happened. After watching it for a while, I walked to rest my mind. I meet two individuals. One pastor, a Christian, and one a Jew. They embrace me. And the Jew reaches in his pocket and gives me a check for $100. Impressive. And the pastor opened his church for us to hold religious services for a year. Impressive. It was Friday, as I said, is the day when we hold our big celebration, religious celebration. Three churches contacted me to offer their space so that we can hold the Friday prayer. Impressive. what can one say? This is community building. And this is in face of what we hear otherwise everywhere else. Something I'm sure you've heard about called Islamophobia. By the way, I'm not disturbed by Islamophobia, despite everything you hear about it. I see some English teachers in the class, in the group here. You know what phobia means? It means fear, right? So, those who fear Islam, okay. Why do you fear? And actually, phobia means irrational fear. It's not based on good foundation. Okay. So, as an educator, I see the response to Islamophobia is what? Education. Not to run away. So, I welcome Islamophobia when it is expressed. Because it tells me what you're worried about and I can address it and take it away from you if I can. There are situations where I can't, so it's all right. Now, sometimes Islamophobia, fear, can result in irrational behavior, not just irrational attitude, but irrational behavior, sometimes even aggressive behavior. And we see that happening in many parts of the state of Minnesota and the rest of the United States, and even at the national level, our president. May God help him. Shortly thereafter, a fire breaks out in one of the residence halls in the Twin Cities. 6 months later, a fire breaks out in St. Cloud, in the Islamic Center. The residence hall is Muslim, used by Somali immigrants. And more recently, I'm sure I don't want to detail all the things that have been happening. I don't want to think about them, because that means that deep education has not taken place. And that's what is needed to build a community. There were some developments, however, that in Winona, that if you are paranoid, all you need is a little bit more evidence. Paranoid people, you know, doesn't mean that they don't have any real enemies. Okay. And I don't want to attribute anything to anyone. Okay? I'm not pointing fingers. But circumstances. After the fire, as the fire was going on, actually, we had a whole assembly of people coming in from everywhere. FBI, fire marshals from the state, from the federal government, coming in and here to see what. Now, the coincidence of September 13th is what? 2 days after September 11th. It was suspected that it might be a hate crime. Somebody deliberately set the fire. 2 o'clock in the morning is a suspicious time in and of itself. I know my friend here has been to the Islamic Center many times, and he knows that in the Islamic Center, Duane, if anybody doesn't know, in the service, we don't even have chairs. We don't have furniture. We pray on the floor. How was the far cost? Well, eventually, and everybody was asking me, what did they think? Well, I couldn't come up with any reason why it happened. But eventually they came up with an analysis to say, well, it was electric wires. We didn't have anything plugged in. Suspicious. I do not believe it was an electric wire. But I have no evidence to submit to the contrary, because everything is gone. And as the fire was being put out, partial demolition took place to put the fire out. So the building was no longer usable, and the city issued orders to us to demolish the whole building. And since it was an old building, the city decided, and I'm saying the city as an entity, because only one person was speaking on behalf of the city, so I cannot say anything more than that. The building was deemed to be hazardous waste, because it would have asbestos in it. Thus, it had to be disposed of as asbestos, as hazardous waste, the entire building. Which means you cannot take the ruins of the building and put them in any landfill. It had to be in a special landfill. This is when we came to grips with something that we did not know was going on. We were underinsured. When we bought the building in 1993, I overinsured it. But the insurance policy was never revisited. We collected $137,000 in total. The cost of the demolition was $160,000. Okay, so we had to look for somewhere else to fill the gap. And there are not very many hazardous waste disposal sites or people that have strict rules for doing this. There are not many people who are qualified to do this, so it is a monopoly market. We had to go with the one individual that can do it, and he dictated his price, especially as the city gave us a time limit to do it with him. Okay. Now we had to go somewhere. We said we'd visiting different places, in churches, renting places, spaces to worship. And then, you know, my time is running out. And then, okay, what to do? The space where it was, when the building was, spit remained empty. A year later, we find the city is telling us, you have to do something about that space. You cannot leave it empty. It's an eyesore. We didn't have money to build. We didn't have money. We built fundraising and all that. Couldn't do very much. Eventually, okay, we'll sell the building. We'll sell the space. And we had a deadline to sell this, to do something about the space within. So we sold the space. We sold the space a year and a half ago. And guess what? The space is still empty. and nobody's complaining about it. Circumstantial evidence. Are you paranoid? I should say, with the officials, there are two layers of officials in the city. The top officials who are very supportive and everything. But then the bureaucracy was working within rules. In the meantime, we were looking for a place to find, and we find the codes of the city getting in our way. We could not buy a place to work in unless it was 20 feet from one side and 40 feet from the other side. How many spaces are like that in the city? Eventually, the one compromise that we could find that would work was to buy something downtown, which we did, eventually. A year ago, last November. And this is where we are right now. But that also reminds me of one comment, and some of you might remember the adult bookstore downtown. The city passed an ordinance that they cannot have, it had to be within 1,000 feet from the nearest place of worship. Well, it was less than 1,000 feet from us. And the city gave them, I don't remember, 2 years or how many years. And the time came by, and I talked to the mayor at the time. And the mayor said, well, I said, we can go to court. I said, well, that's what courts are for. He said, why are you downtown? I said, this is a business area. Well, this is actually reflects some misunderstanding of where mosques are places of worship for Muslims are. They are in the business area, as well as in the homes. So that, as you probably know, Muslims pray 5 times a day. When it's time for prayer, you go to pray in the closest place. So it's in the middle of the business area. Of course, we don't have many Muslims downtown, but it is... This is not a foreign thought for me to have it downtown. But having downtown eases the burden because there are no parking requirements. We don't have to provide parking space. Okay, I'll stop right here and because I know where I was looking at the watch about 5 minutes ago. Yeah. Thank you.
And we have time for maybe one or two very quick questions if anybody has a very brief question for Amit.
Yes.
How can we be supportive as individuals or as a fellowship?
Come and visit us. Talk with us.
When do you have your potluck suppers?
We have potluck suppers. Actually, we have a number of them. It is throughout the year. It is the last Sunday of every month and about 6:30. However, in about 3 weeks, we're going to be having potluck suppers every night for a month, because that's the month of fasting.
Oh.
Yes, Ramadan. Then we have breakfast, as we call it, breakfast, at sundown, every day. Yes.
How's the new location working out for your community?
I'm sorry?
How is your location?
The location? It's working out fine. Yeah. The fact that we don't have to have our own parking space, and also the fact that we are all, there is behind us, there is a municipal parking lot and a couple others around it, so that works real well. It is a little difficult for students though, because they have to jump between classes and, yes.
How many people usually come to the gatherings?
Like here, it depends. Yeah. It depends on what's going on in the city, what's going on with classes, and on Friday we had about 15 or so people because graduation was going on through. Yes.
Can you Can you imagine your mosque as being part of a revitalization of 3rd Street? A Middle Eastern restaurant.
Well, we thought about it. I don't know if there were many people that would come to the restaurant. In fact, there might be a little experiment. I'm going to do a free advertising for somebody else here. One of our members, who actually is the president of the Islamic Center, it is a corporation, is having a falafel stand at the farmer's market coming up.
Yeah.
Okay. So, free advertising for him. If that goes, I guess we can think about some more. But I'm glad you mentioned that question. Excuse me, I'll take another minute. This has not been announced publicly, but being revitalization reminded me I should have talked about that. We just received a grant from the Minnesota Historical Society. This being a historical district, a historic district, revitalization and renewal of the restoration of the historic sites. The grant is to provide an assessment of the building. And the building is a historic building. It used to be a bank, for some of you who might not know. Winona Bank. Not Winona National Bank, but Winona Bank. Back in the turn of the 19th, 20th century. We discovered how beautiful the building was one day when we were laying carpets, and lo and behold, some plaster came down through the false ceilings. And we look up, wow, a beautiful building, 19 feet high, and three false ceilings in between. Okay, this is an assessment of the building, and hopefully we'll apply for another grant to restore the building to its original condition.
Thank you so much. Please stand in body or spirit while we sing hymn number 318, We Will Be One.